Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship with Romford Salvation Army. Thank you very much to the singing company for opening our time together. I hope you are listening to the words that they sang. We're together this morning to worship, to bow down, to acknowledge who God is, to say that he is worthy, to say that he is wonderful, and to acknowledge the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. I hope you're ready to do those things this morning. We're continuing to look at the first Christian church, and we'll look some more at the character of Stephen, but also the amazing story of a man called Saul. But first, we're going to sing together, and we're going to sing Send Revival, Start With Me.
Revival. Lord, send revival, start with me, for I am one. A recent Twitter spat was caused by an article in The Spectator in which the reporter questioned why the church had been closed during the COVID-19 crisis, ending by saying they laminated the notices, locked the doors, and disappeared completely from our national life. Although his tirade was aimed mostly at the Church of England, many people are wondering what the church has been doing during lockdown. Perhaps you have been wondering what the Romford Core has been doing.
Well, on March the 23rd, lockdown happened and we sent all our volunteers home and our employees started to work from home. For the first 2 weeks, Mark and I cooked and gave hot meals to take away to people who were homeless. Then after negotiations with the London Borough of Havering, these people were all placed in temporary housing with food included. The hall building was then closed, other than for us to use the office 2 to 3 times a week. Reception was only for food bank vouchers by appointment. Initially, we gave out up to 5 per day, but there has been less recently. We've also been meeting contractors doing building maintenance. The charity shop closed, the staff were furloughed. In fact, all 6 of our employees are now on furlough. Jella, Agnes, Paul, Nina, Dave, and Jackie. We stay in contact with all of them by phone or email.
So what you're saying is that basically the core was closed from April onwards?
Well, apart from our Sunday worship, pre-recorded and premiered online through Facebook, followed by Zoom coffee and chat, we get 70 to 80 views live for the whole meeting, plus around 280 additional viewers later. And we have a YouTube channel to share new video content.
Yeah, but otherwise we're closed, right?
Well, some of our small groups meet by Zoom, and we have quizzes by Zoom.
You can't really count those.
All right, how about our children's ministry page on Facebook, which has stories, songs, a timbrel display, and activities for the children to complement our Sunday meetings. Our Little Angels parent and toddler group have a Facebook page where we share stories and songs most weeks. And the Pod WhatsApp group where Bible study resources are shared and all the Kids Club children have been written to.
Okay, but otherwise we're shut down?
No, the army papers are delivered on a bi-weekly basis by small groups. Core members have been contacted by small group leaders, pastoral groups, or by us. Plus, the Facebook pages and Twitter host lively debates and conversations between various core members. We can put out conversation starters along with other members of the leadership team. Prayer meetings have been arranged over Facebook and by Zoom. We've had our 3 prayer meetings on the 19th of the month for COVID-19, our 2020 prayer meeting each month, and the Black Lives Matter Zoom prayer meeting. We've had a strategy team meeting by Zoom. All our Friendship Club members have been contacted on the phone by Tom and Barbara, and Liz has also hosted some virtual women's ministry brunches.
But other than that,
the worship band, virtual choir and isolation band and other musicians have created video input for the meetings. The Brownies have met every Monday evening online via Zoom. The Songsters have created a virtual song and also shared it on their Facebook page. The band have held a virtual band social. And that's not to list all the individual things church members have been doing as well. Helping their neighbours, phoning friends and family. And then there are those who have remained at work in schools, the NHS, the police and other key roles. Those that have been working from home, balancing childcare with a home office.
So you're saying the church hasn't closed?
The church and Romford Salvation Army certainly has not been closed. The buildings may be empty, the shop closed, but the work of the church and the mission of God continues. I'd like you to listen to our Bible reading now, which is taken from verses from Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7. Hopefully you'll remember 2 weeks ago we introduced the character of Stephen, who was one of seven men that the disciples chose to help with the food provision for the widows and others in need. And now we're going to pick up on what happened to Stephen next in Acts chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. The reading is quite long this morning, so just try and follow it. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law." Stephen then goes on to make a long speech about the history of the people of Israel and about Jesus. And then we carry on the story in chapter 7, verse 58. They dragged Stephen out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I know a number of you have been wondering about our weekend away to Carroty Wood, which was planned for this July. We've now had a definite message from them to say that we'll not be able to visit this year. They are holding our deposit over so that we can book for next year, possibly the equivalent weekend in 2021, but we'll let you know. We'll certainly keep you posted with any updates. The commissioning of this year's cadets will of course not take place as it usually does, but will be live streamed on the day, 11th of July at 2 p.m. We'll post details on the Facebook page so that you can listen in as Luke Cousins, Hannah Borrett, along with the other cadets, are commissioned. The funeral for Norman Throssell will take place this coming Wednesday, the 1st of July. Please keep the family in your prayers at this time. Later in our meeting, the songsters will sing Blessed Assurance, which was one of Norman's great favourites. We'll remember him smiling and swaying as he sang this amazing truth, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." We're sorry that we've missed a few birthdays. It's difficult to catch up with everyone. Some of you are very shy to share your special day. We've decided to concentrate on the birthdays of the children and youth from now on. So this week, Chloe and Faye have had their birthdays. Happy birthday to you both. And congratulations to Kerry, who's passed her master's degree in psychology. Fantastic news. Well done, Kerry.
Hi, everyone. I came across this Fun Spot the Difference game and I really wanted to share it with some of my friends. So I wondered if you'd like to have a go. See if you can find the five differences in this game, and you can let me know how you get on. How did you get on? Did you find them all? If you didn't, don't worry. You could always have a little look back later. You could pause it and see if you can find them all. And if not, a grown-up might be able to help you. I bet they're really good at them. Now, this spot the difference in particular got me thinking about some of the differences in our church at the moment, because it's a little bit different. It's not like our regular church that we go to on a Sunday. Sometimes I come to church in my pyjamas. And sometimes, well, most of the time, in fact, I don't get to see my friends in church. Sometimes they're on the screen, but I don't get to talk to them in the normal way. So it's very different from our normal church. And I was thinking about some of the differences and really a little bit sad. But then I started to think about some of the things that were the same. So the opposite of the differences, and that made me really happy to think about some of the things that were the same. So we get to sing some amazing songs, and when we get to sing some of my favourite songs, I'm often up and about and dancing, because that's what I like to do in church. And some of the other things that are the same is we get to hear from amazing people, some of the really cool grown-ups, and even some of the really cool children we get to hear from too. And one of the things that made me the most happy was the thing that's always the same, no matter where we do church or how we do church. And that's that Jesus is with us at church. So if we have church on our phone, or if we have church on our TV, or if we're in church in the big church, Jesus is always there with us. And that made me the happiest of all. And that's what the difference made me think of, was actually it's not about the things that are different, it's about the things that are the same. And the thing that's the most important thing that's the same is that whatever church looks like is that Jesus is there. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. tomorrow, this time tomorrow, where will you be, who will you see? I don't know, this time tomorrow.
Yeah! Well, good morning, everybody. It's another version of This Time Tomorrow. And I'm very, very lucky to be joined by Jenny Barclay-Haskew. Do you want to say hello, Jenny?
Hello! I don't know whether you're lucky, but hi, everyone. Thinking of you all.
We're very lucky. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of This Time Tomorrow. So I'm going to dive straight in. And could you just tell us a little bit about just a bit about what you do day to day in your sort of everyday life?
Okay, righty-ho. I work as a personal assistant for a company. It used to be called Independent Living Advocacy, but now it's called Purple, and that is changing the conversation. And I work for a young lady who's got limb-girdle muscular dystrophy, and I spend some time during the week. We go to the gym, and I do physio with her that's been recommended by her consultant. And we work in the gym, and we also go into the swimming pool and do some exercises in there, a bit of walking up and down, and we actually do an aqua class together. So to start with, she never ever went into the pool. She was always very, very nervous and all that. But now we've managed to get her in, and we have a great time together. She's a wonderful girl, love her to bits, and I'm doing exactly what I've always wanted to do. So I feel really privileged.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So your day-to-days obviously sound quite busy. So we'll come on to that in a little while. But I mean, in terms of, obviously, that's your week. So on a Sunday, you obviously come to our church. How long have you been part of our church for?
I have been part of the church. I've been coming since I was 11. So that is, I've written it down somewhere, 46 years ago. I used to go to Barking Salvation Army before that. So I've been brought up from birth. My dad was always in the Corps, and my mum met my dad in the youth club and joined through there. And then we moved and so changed Corps when I was 11. And I've been obviously at the Romford Corps ever since.
Wow. How long have you been a Christian then? How long have you had faith?
I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 7. And then the next main time was when I was about 15. Dean, I think it was in my teenage years, when the Solid Rock band came to the Corps. I just found them very, very inspiring. I gave my heart to Jesus that day. Yeah.
Amazing. That's incredible. I would like to have a moment like that, I think. I didn't tend to have one of those, but that's amazing. So we've heard a little bit about what your day-to-day is and the amazing work that you do as a job. How does your faith affect, you know, your day-to-day in your role and also in the situation at the moment?
At the moment, I'm not actually working because my client has actually been given 12 weeks isolation. I must admit, in recent times, I found life a little bit hard. Struggled a bit, and my sister-in-law Liz Papagno, she actually gave me a book called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. I really, really recommend it, and if anybody wants one, they're welcome. But that is like a little daily reading that's actually got Jesus actually talking to you from him personally, and it's very, it's very, very uplifting. I really recommend it. If anybody wants to have a look at the book, I can bring mine along, etc. But that, because I've been at home and obviously in isolation, then I've actually obviously found that this book has been really helpful. I've had a lot of experiences in life, and Jesus has definitely brought me to being where I work now, what I've always wanted to do through a friend. I have Jesus in my life every day. Yes, I do. And I try to spread this to those I meet at work. Spoken to someone who might actually come to the Corps at the gym that we go to, who's got a connection. There's a couple of people, in fact. So I do try to talk about it.
Amazing. Brilliant. So, I mean, in terms of, there's obviously challenges with that for everyone who's in isolation at the moment. But specifically for you, Jen, what can we be praying for you in these next coming weeks?
I do worry a lot. For God to come very close to me. I know he's close, but sometimes I feel he's not close enough. And I always pray for inner peace and to be really feel him really, really close. And I'd like, you know, people to pray that they could, that he can come closer to me and be, show me he's with me. I know he does. But yes, I still want to be closer to God. So if you could pray for that.
Absolutely, we can do that. We'll do pray now, but thank you very much for sharing. It's been really great to speak to you. But we'll just pray now and end this time together. Dear Lord, I just want to bring Jen and her family before you. Just thank you for everything that she is in our core and in our church. And Lord, just right now, in this time of isolation, uncertain period, we just ask for your peace, for your strength, and for your love, just to really overflow and to fill Jen and her house, and just really just be with her and be close to her and help her to see and to know that you're there next to her and walking beside her at this time. Lord, just be in everything that she does and keep speaking to her. And keep being close to her, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tune in next week for another This Time Tomorrow. We'll see you soon. Thanks a lot.
See you. Bye, everyone. Bye.
as we come into this time of prayer, I think sometimes it's important to recognise that even those of us who've had a relationship with God for a really long time can get caught in a quagmire, not knowing how to talk to God or what to speak to him. So today, I urge us to perhaps go back to basics. Right now, in this prayer time, I'm going to be following the Acts method of prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We start with adoration. Right now, we want to tell God how much we adore him and how we love him for who he is. Revelations 4 verse 11 says to us, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things. By your will they were created and have their being." Father God, today I offer you my praise. I praise you for your mercy that reaches out, for your patience that awaits my return, for your love that is always ready to welcome me and bring me home. You are faithful. You are kind. You take the broken offerings I bring to the altar, and you accept them and make them new. Lord, today I adore you for who you are, not just what you do. Lord, as I come to you, it's important that I offer you confession. It's important that I bring to you the things I know I have done wrong. On a global level, we know the world has issues. We know the world has sinned. We see it constantly in our news, Lord. On a community level, in our street, in our church, we see symptoms of a sinful world. Lord, and on a personal level, as I interact with my friends, my family, in my work, Lord, I take these moments to reflect on ways that I have gone wrong, on ways that I have not shown your love or your mercy or your grace as I should have. Lord, I ask you for your forgiveness. And I ask that as you forgive me, you enable me to forgive others. You enable me to let go of the things that I hold on to with hurt and hatred. And Lord, where I have been wronged, or where I see things in my community that are wrong, or where on a greater, more global level, we see evidence of your creation not being looked after the way it should, hear our repentance, Lord, and inspire us to act for justice with compassion and with your mercy. Lord, right now we bring you thanks. Sometimes when things around us look difficult, it can be hard to bring prayers of thanksgiving to you. But right now I want to recognize that I have a lot to be thankful for personally. And I know as a community, despite how difficult things may be for some people, we have much to be thankful for. Lord, right now, in a few moments of quietness, I ask that you'll take these things that I think of the things that I am right now going to think of to be thankful for my family, for my friends, for my security and my comfort. One Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." Lord, I thank you. I truly give you thanks. And finally, supplication. Lord, we want to pray for all of those around us who are hurting right now and who need you. Lamentations 3 verses 21 to 23 say this, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Right now we call down that faithfulness and that love, Lord, on those who are hurt, on those who are grieving, on those who live in anxiety, Lord. For those for which going to bed at night does not give them rest, but gives them this clench in their stomach and a worrying mind, Lord, we pray for them. Lord, for those who know that there are circumstances in their life that they need to change or they want to change, but they feel stuck in, Lord, we pray for them. We pray that they will find freedom in you. Lord, we recognize that you call us not only to love you and to love others, but also to act on that love, Lord. And we ask that where there are actions that are needed, where there are things that need to be done to help those who are in need, that you will give us the opportunity, that you will point us in the direction, that you will inspire us, that you will move our hands and our feet to do that. Lord, I take this moment to be still, to breathe deeply, and to thank God, thank you for your presence in my life. I breathe out right now and I release into your hands all of those things I've prayed for. In the name of your Holy Son, Jesus, amen.
The Bible reading from Acts chapter 9. As Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. It has been about 40 years since I took part in protests inside Western Supermare Technical College, staging a student sit-in demanding an end to cuts in student grants. I don't think I've taken part in a sit-in or protest march since then. I'm not sure if my protests back then made any difference or if anyone changed their minds as a result. There's a lot of protesting going on at the moment. Marches, shouting, statues being torn down, violence, cars being set alight, banners and flags, slogans being chanted, Black Lives Matters, White Lives Matter, Welcome the Refugee, Not in My Backyard, Meals for Children, Housing for the Homeless, Oh for a Quiet Life. In our Bible readings in Acts, we read how Stephen, having been chosen as a man full of the Holy Spirit to calm the dispute between the Greek speakers and the Aramaic speakers, managed to really upset a group of Jews who then enraged the mob, and this eventually led to Stephen being dragged out into the street and stoned to death. Watching on, turning a blind eye to the illegality of the situation and holding the coats of the murderous mob was Saul. Luke records that Saul approved of the killing of Stephen. This same Saul then met with Jesus in a blinding light and changes, converts, becoming a prolific evangelist and letter writer, bringing us the theology which still moulds our Christian thinking today. Saul becomes Paul. The Pharisee of the Pharisees becomes the Christian theologian. The destroyer of the church becomes a servant and is beaten and imprisoned for Jesus. He who turned a blind eye is blinded, and then his sight is restored and his vision expanded. The persecutor becomes the chosen instrument of God, the evangelist to the Gentiles and their kings. So what does the conversion of Paul, Saul, say to us about how we should live in 2020 in Romford? Two things. First, that we should not turn a blind eye, and second, that God can change the heart of anyone. Don't live life in a bubble. Don't let your silence be tacit approval for the wrongdoing of others or society or the systems that drive us. It is not enough to not be a racist. We must be anti-racist, challenging racist language and behaviour whenever we see it. No blind eyes, no tacit agreement. It's not enough to feed the homeless or feel sorry for the refugee child washed up on the shore without challenging the systems and regimes that put people on the street or slam the door on those strangers begging for a welcome. We might not pick up the bricks, but do we look the other way or even hold the coats of those throwing the stones? Do we, by our silence, side with the oppressors? We sing, build your kingdom here. We pray, thy kingdom come. We have our mission statement, building God's kingdom. Let God reign. Part of this is opposing the wrong, challenging the reign of darkness, standing up and being counted with the widows and orphans, the despised, the oppressed, the weeping women. Secondly, let us pray for the conversion of others. We are, after all, a salvation army. We believe in the salvation of the world. We want people to be saved, to come to know Jesus, to be transformed. How Paul must have looked to Ananias, the fire-breathing destroyer of the church. Who comes to your mind? Who would you like to see changed to a kingdom-loving Christian? Put them on your list. Pray into their lives. Tell them you're praying for them. Pray for our politicians, those with influence, celebrities, friends, colleagues, family members. Imagine what could happen if they met with Jesus, if their worldview was transformed. In conclusion, then, We must be bold and speak up. We cannot give tacit agreement by keeping quiet. We have to open our eyes, not turn blind eyes, to what is going on around us, and so give our approval to the mob. And what about those who appear so far away from God, so un-Christ-like? Let us pray that they might meet Jesus and have their own conversion experience. It can't be any more unlikely or surprising than the conversion of Paul. Let us pray. Dear God, heal us. Take the planks from our eyes that we might see the world through your eyes. Give us courage to stand with the oppressed and the weak. Give us soft and open hearts to the plight of the refugee and the stranger. Help us to reach out to the marginalised, as you reached out to the leper and the Samaritan woman. Make us not judgmental, but hopeful, as we pray for those who don't yet know you. May we see people change. May we thank you for conversions. Bless our army of salvation with your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back in the 18th century lived John, a heavy drinker and a womanizer. He grew up in the Navy, but was thrown out and entered the employ of a slave trader, becoming the master of ships carrying slaves. On one occasion, during a huge storm, his ship was holed and taking on water. At that moment, he prayed and became a Christian. He continued to operate slave ships, but in later life, he became an Anglican priest and wrote of his shame and disgust at his earlier life and behaviour. Just before his death in 1807, he wrote a pamphlet against slavery, which helped MP William Wilberforce begin to bring about an end to slavery in the UK. John Newton, a converted slave trader, wrote the song Amazing Grace. As you listen to it being sung now by Bethany and Paige, reflect and wonder at God's power to change the hearts of people.
Grace appear the Thank you.
Shall we pray? I believe in transformation. God can change the hearts of men. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful transformation in Paul's life and his part in building the Christian church. We ask for your transforming work in our lives, and we believe and pray for the transformation of all those we love and all those who hold positions of power. Amen.